Okay, so today I wanted to discuss overstabilities in dilute plasmas based on some recent simulations that actually can illuminate the nature of this instabilities, actually overstabilities. And when I say recent, I mean really recent, as of this past week until yesterday. So this may not be a final word on this, but I thought that nevertheless it would be interesting to share while everybody is still here, and maybe it will provide some food for thought. So on that note, special thanks to the KITP for hospitality and positive brain waves, and also to my collaborators, Chris Kim and Steve Bubbles. I think this one or this one? This one, probably. Yeah. Should put a circle around it. So you know already that ICM plasma is dilute, it's weakly magnetized, and this is the reason why charged particles are nearly freely streaming along the lines of the magnetic field. This is because their mean free path exceeds the gyro radius by many orders of magnitude. And this anisotropic transport of energy and momentum actually acts to alter the classic Schwarzschild criterion for convection in a way that has already been discussed for the two instabilities, magnetothermal instability and heat flux buoyancy instability. And of course, one of the questions that all of us are interested in here is what are the implications of this instabilities and overstabilities for the ICM. But in addition to this question, I guess from a more fundamental point of view, it is also interesting to understand the dynamical stability of dilute and magnetized plasmas. So recently, the last year, Bubbles and Reynolds carried out analysis of the linear stability of hot, dilute, and stratified plasmas. And they found that these two well-known instabilities, magnetothermal instability for negative temperature gradient, and heat flux buoyancy instability for the positive temperature gradient, actually have two companions. They're accompanied by two G-mode overstabilities, or G-mode driven overstabilities. And more specifically, in a case of the MTI, this overstability arises from a nominally stable state resulting from a nonlinear evolution of the MTI and is driven by conductive heat flux. And in other case, in case of the HBI, the overstability arises from, again, the nominally stable state, which results from the evolution, nonlinear evolution of the HBI. And in this case, it's driven by radiative cooling. So let's briefly discuss how these instabilities and overstabilities come about. Let's look at the equations. Here is a set of standard MHD equations which describe our stratified atmosphere, in this case, mass, momentum, induction, and entropy equation, where in the entropy equation on the right-hand side, there is the term associated with the gradient of the anisotropic flux. So this is anisotropic heat flux determined by the temperature gradient and geometry of magnetic fields. Pi here is just the Spitzer induction coefficient. And what you see on the right here is actually a cooling term, which also enters into the time change of the entropy profile. And in this case, it's described by the band strong cooling. But in case of the linear analysis, this cooling function can actually be any other mathematical function in principle. Gram-Strong is a natural choice. So Bubbles and Reynolds studied the linear stability of the atmosphere, and they linearized the equations, the MHD equations, by introducing first the plane wave disturbances of this form to the equilibrium state, and then linearizing. And sigma here in this perturbation term is the growth rate of the perturbation. And k is just the wave vector that describes the spatial distribution of this perturbation. So the result of this linear analysis is this cubic dispersion relation in terms of growth rate. And each of these parameters in the cubic equation in some way specifies the stability criterion. And here are the three actually stability criteria that follow from this cubic equation or dispersion relation. The first one is the well-known thermal stability criterion, or just the Fields criterion. And the second one is the stability criterion for magnetothermal and heat flux-driven buoyancy instability. So you also heard about that before. The third one is a new one, and has been actually discovered by Ballas and Reynolds, and has been omitted in previous analysis. And this is actually the condition that specifies the stability to the radiative cooling or heat flux driven overstabilities. So briefly, just to remind you what is actually the difference between instability and overstability. It's mostly a terminology because they are both instabilities in their nature. Consider the small perturbation of this form, of the exponential form. And if sigma, the growth rate, is actually a real number and a positive number, then the perturbation will grow as an instability. It will grow exponentially, right? If, however, sigma is a complex number, but has a real part which is positive, we'll get a oscillatory growth of the perturbation, and this will be overstability. So that's the only difference. Now going back to the equations, going back to the three stability criteria that I mentioned. So the first one, as I said, is the well-known thermal stability or Fields criterion. And theta here is a term related to the temperature derivative of the radiative cooling, which can be negative and is negative for a Bremsstrahlung type of cooling, for example. So this is this term is a cooling term, if you wish, and is actually balanced by the conduction term, where here K is actually a diffusivity coefficient which is related to the Spitzer conductivity coefficient. But for all practical purposes, it actually controls the strength of the conductive heating with respect to the cooling term. This second handy expression here is the stability criterion for MTI and HVI, and I won't spend a lot of time discussing that. But I'll move to the third criterion, which actually is a stability criterion that for our radiative cooling driven and heat flux driven overstabilities. So what I wanted to point out is that these two expressions look very similar, save for the R term here, which is a reduction factor. R here is a factor that depends on temperature and temperature and pressure profiles of a specific atmosphere, and is a number larger or less than one, due to the name, the reduction factor. So what I actually wanted to point out is that because R is less than one, this term can be suppressed. And in principle, while this can be satisfied, stability to the Fields criterion may be satisfied, this may become less than zero if this term is negative, right? So there may be situations when one may hold true, but the other may be less than zero. It's also true that in the case of the overstability that is associated with a stable state of the MTI, the heat flux driven overstability, R can also be negative. So in that case, even in the absence of cooling, this atmosphere will be overstable. Okay? I hope that I'm not blocking your view.
So, okay, in the absence of cooling, there can be overstability. Physically, why does it exist?
So physically, again, it exists. And I will show an illustration of this later. Again, because of converging and diverging magnetic field lines, which happen to heat some parcels of gas and cool some others. But
is there any assumption about the gradient of entropy gradient? I mean, does that gradient depend at all on entropy gradient?
So in principle, R depends on temperature and pressure profiles. So I guess
if front Weissenau frequency is zero, what happens? Does this known? Is this there or not?
I think that things can't change when Brund Weissenau frequency is zero. But then the atmosphere is, I guess, just unstable, right? Completely unstable. So you can't really discuss any particular instability or stability anymore.
So you can actually write R in terms of N squared, and the allowed bounds on R come from the imposition of N squared greater than zero. So the fact that R has to be less than one is actually
is related to N squared being
larger than
N squared greater than zero. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a movie similar to the one that Sheikh, Ian, and Mark are showing of the instabilities? That occurs. The other ones, why it's stable for all the other instabilities, but just unstable for this instability?
Yeah. Well, I have to disappoint you. I don't have a movie, but I have a sequence of snapshots that I will show.
Oh, that's good. You get a discount.
I consider I consider movies, but yeah. So at least mathematically, then you can see that depending on which criterion is satisfied, there are four separate outcomes here. Completely stable atmosphere, stable to fields, unstable to the overstability criterion, vice versa, and this combination here. But if n squared is larger than zero, Brund-Weissenau frequency squared is larger than zero, you can find that this is actually not a physical solution. So under no conditions can you specify atmosphere which will be fields unstable, but stable to the overstabilities. And that implies that actually this overstability criterion is in some sense more stringent description of the atmosphere stability than the fields criterion itself. But on the other hand, you can create a situation where the atmosphere is stable to the fields, or the fields criterion is satisfied, but you can still isolate the overstability specifically. So this is something that I've been doing over the past week. Well, since nothing happens here, this is just stable and this is an unphysical solution, these are the two cases where that we are going to look into. So just to actually describe or illustrate what happens in the case of the heat flux-driven overstability. So remember, this is the overstability associated with the final stable state of the MTI. And here is the MTI picture, just to remind you how it looked like, where temperature is high on the bottom, atmosphere is cold on the top. And since we start from the MTI stable configuration, here are two blobs in a magnetic jail in a sort of temperature equilibrium with their environment. And if a perturbation is introduced such that it cuts across the field lines, converging and diverging magnetic field lines will cause parcels of gas to be heated and cool in different parts of the atmosphere, and then we'll start oscillating. And the perturbation will, oscillation will grow eventually to a runaway state. So let's look at those two states now based on the simulations. These are the snapshots from two different scenarios. In one case, we have a thermally stable atmosphere, but overstable to this heat flux driven overstability. In the second case, we have an atmosphere which is unstable to both, according to both criteria. I should say that a color scale here marks temperature. Vectors, if you can see them, actually mark the topology for the topology of magnetic fields.
So the right bit is MTI unstable and HFO
unstable. So it's unstable to the fields criteria. So it's thermally unstable and overstable.
But the initial field is vertical, so it's MTI stable.
So initially, at least, yeah, it's stable to the MTI. Linearly. So what I wanted to actually point out here, you can see the overstability starts to develop as magnetic field lines are swaying back and forth. And it settles into some steady state turbulence, but it maintains the temperature gradient as long as the background gradient is present, as it is in this stratified box.
By the boundary conditions.
So they're periodic in x direction, and in y direction, the temperature gradient is enforced in the top and the bottom. So it's just a continuation of the initial condition.
And magnetic field lines?
So magnetic field are just continuing into as they are in the active zones. So, yeah, outflowing from this. What I wanted to point out here is that in both cases, conduction is subdominant. The frequency, conduction frequency is low compared to dynamical or cooling time scale. And remember, in this case, we don't need cooling to operate. If we pick our specific entropy gradient or pressure temperature profiles for this atmosphere, that our reduction factor will be negative. So cooling does not even have to operate in this case in order to get overstability going, which really tells you that this is a different beast from just the thermal instability. Thermal instability, in order for it to develop, there has to be some radiative cooling. And I hope that you can also see, just by comparing the two, that they indeed look very, very different as they develop.
So what are the growth rates analytically for the HFO? Obviously not the Brun-Barrichello growth.
No.
Frequency.
No. So this instability, actually, for relatively large case on small scales can grow on a dynamical time scale.
Even after, so what are these snapshots? I mean, it doesn't look like, I mean, in the first, not much is happening in the first three, really.
Right.
And this is 2,500 dynamic return at the end.
So in this particular run, it took we ran it for a relatively long time, but the nonlinear state developed only after about 1,000 dynamical
times. In a real
time.
Cluster, you wouldn't have that many dynamical times.
But as I said, it depends on K. It depends on what you pick for K. In this case, I just picked a relatively large perturbation, which had a wavelength comparable to the size of the box. Because for me, that was a clean case.
So the growth rate of the overstability is, it's this complicated expression, but essentially it boils down to the growth rate is the minimum of the conduction or the dynamical time scale. So if the conduction time scale is if the conduction frequency is lower as it is here, that would be the time scale which it grow.
So yeah, in this case.
So presumably, I don't know what that's tuned to.
So what's the conduction frequency? That's the field, speed length divided by the sound speed. What's the conduction frequency?
It's kappa the diffusion coefficient times k dot b squared times some factor unity. So yeah, proportional to k squared and times cup.
It's the rate of heat diffusion.
Yeah. So what's the other thing is, I mean, this information tomorrow needed to run out for a long time to get this saturated state. And again, our initial field was very closely aligned to being vertical, so it takes a while for things to grow.
So in a real cluster, so for addressing one of Paul's worries that every time some three letters pop up, you have to read what you're does this matter for clusters?
So, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, it would be interesting to know that. But obviously, these are local simulations. So, an indication that this overstability may actually be interesting and may be important is that, for example, Mike in his simulations has seen that MTI does not saturate perfectly, and that there is some swaying, residual swaying of magnetic field lines. They're never perfectly radial at the end of the simulation. So I think that that confirms that it may be interesting.
The emotions at the end?
That is a good question. I don't know. I don't remember. I think it's not very large here, but I think that it's quite large here.
To amplify tomorrow's point, I think that's quite an important one for regards to Mike's simulations here. Mike sees HBI settle out into almost a quiescent state, but MTO never does that. And I think this is a framework in which that result can be understood. In that in Mike's non-cooling simulations, the overstability that is associated with the endpoint of the MTI is not tweaked. It's not overstable to that. The overstability associated with the endpoint of the MTI is. So we would argue that's why Mike sees result sees, which is the.
But this is also true with non-linearity.
Yeah, Mike had his mind.
I think in my simulations, you wouldn't expect to see this because the convection frequency is. The convection time is really short.
This works in that time in that limit as well. It grows.
It doesn't disappear, but we see it grow on a much shorter time scale than the convection time. But you said the growth rate for this instability is the minimum.
And you see growth on a much shorter time
than the convection
time.
And the interpretation there is we just have these motions, not these nonlinear motions are not damped, and they seed secondary MTI.
So even though it's linearly stable to the MTI, there are these zero frequency ones.
To briefly go back to your question, I think that the kinetic energy density is small here because the temperature gradient is not washed out. I don't remember the value. But here, the whole atmosphere is pretty much destroyed, so it's got to be comparable to the thermal energy density.
Are there parts of clusters where these criteria are satisfied? I mean, the cooling time is still reasonably short in the outskirts.
I'm not sure. But it also depends on this, and this depends on orientation of magnetic field. So.
Yeah, but it's just that you get such interesting difference if you have a reasonably short cooling time.
Right. So this is just dominated by the thermal instability.
The cold temperature there is the stable phase of the cooling curve. Is the temperature cool things in the plot related to the stable phase of the thermal instability? Is that the floor? Is that the temperature floor?
This. So there is no temperature floor actually in this simulation. So, yeah.
So what determines that temperature?
I'm sorry?
What is that temperature set by? And if you have thermal instability, it's usually set by the stable phase of the cooling curve.
Probably then, yeah. I guess so, because I didn't impose a cooling floor in this run. It just dies on its own.
But it looks like the same color scale as the top
It could be that actually that was rescaled by the plotter. So I think that, yeah, I think that temperature was rescaled from
some question about the initial condition. Is this an initial condition that would be convectively stable even if there were no
according to the Schwarzschild criterion, yes.
Just want to get that one.
Yes. I mean, we set up our atmospheres very carefully in order to pick on a particular overstability. So I can show you in the next slide how we test that we got the right thing and not just some spurious oscillation.
Okay, what is
the dynamic range in temperature we're seeing?
It's not a large dynamic range. Initially, it's probably 5% top to bottom.
Okay, so all those colors are
5%. It's local. it's a local simulation, so the variation of temperature is not large across the box. So basically, how do we know that we got the right overstability and not just some other funny mode? Well, we can measure how the perturbation velocity grows in time. Here it's shown in terms of dynamical time. And you can see this oscillatory growth, which is specific for specific to the overstabilities. Any instability would just have an exponential growth. And we then match it to the particular dispersion relation obtained from the linear analysis, where we plot growth rate here in terms of room twice solid frequency, as well as this term that is proportional to the conduction coefficient times wave number squared. So for several rounds that we did, we are confident that we did isolate this heat flux driven overstability. Okay.
One question. The dynamic time is about a Guderian cluster. Or 10 to the minus 3.
Depends where, I guess.
What about, right?
It's definitely a function of radius. Yes.
Right.
Yes, but the typical, I mean, for the center, it might be a little shorter, but it's really a Guderian, right? So you have basically a total of 10 dynamic times available.
I think one thing just to say is a philosophy question. The philosophy that we're following in this particular study is to just examine the physics of this particular instability.
So it may not map.
Not slave ourselves for any particular cluster or physical size.
So if you think about the time,
the time
that it takes for it to grow, it may not map one-to-one to the situation in clusters because the entropic gradient may be different and cooling law may be different and so on. Okay, moving on.
This could be a tiny little sub-volume, or the dynamical time is as short as you want it to be.
Yeah. So it may act locally. That's true. So an illustration of the other overstability, overstability driven by radiative cooling. This is the one that is associated with the final stable state of the HBI. Here's the HBI to manage with. Temperature now increases upwards. And here are two usual suspects, the two cells of gas sitting unsuspectingly on the magnetic field line in harmony with their environment until suddenly a perturbation strikes. And they start oscillating. A little bit of drama helps to stay awake. They start oscillating, and they would oscillate stably around this equilibrium if there was no radiative cooling. However, radiative cooling makes this an irreversible process. The perturbation will grow, and the atmosphere will be overstable.
If this blob thing goes up, maybe they both cool. So it goes up because it goes into cooler. This one has to cool more than this one.
Not necessarily this one with respect to this one, but this one with respect to the background. So that's actually what determines whether this will sink deeper and rise higher than it was previously. And it's not actually trivial to get
it. You have to have very fast cooling, faster than the buoyant stuff.
I think these diagrams complicate is it's not an instability, it's an overstability. Mm-hmm. So in some sense, it's accurate. In these kind of diagrams, it could easily look like it's going to be stable. What actually happens is it overshoots.
Yeah.
And overshoot again.
Should I try and find another, because those people are getting restless. Much more do you have?
Probably two slides more.
Two slides, oh, okay.
Well, it depends on how long are we going to spend.
But the discussion. But what do you take away from this diagram? To me, it doesn't help me to understand it.
So think about it: that in the absence of cooling, you would just have a stable oscillation with a constant amplitude. But as you pull the parcel of gas up or down, you're basically squeezing the energy out of it through radiation. Which is what makes this an irreversible process. Every time you squeeze some radiation out of it, you will basically make the amplitude slightly larger the next time around. We can try to develop an intuitive picture of that.
Let's go there. You probably don't need the slides. We'll just sit outside and chat.
Yeah,